people who are fully
Blog Talk Radio.
Is also expected to announce other new recommendations for people who are fully vaccinated. Some employees working on government contracts could soon see a pay increase. President Biden is expected today to sign an executive order to raise the minimum wage for federal contractors and tipped employees. An independent autopsy shows a black man killed by police in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, died from a bullet to the back of his head. This is attorney Wayne Kendall, who represents the family of Andrew Brown Jr.
He was leaving the site trying to evade being shot at by these particular law enforcement officers who we believe did nothing but a straight-out execution.
The attorneys talked today in front of the Elizabeth City Police Department, and a crowd could be heard yelling, "Arrest them," as more details of the autopsy were disclosed. Police say Brown was shot last week after deputies tried to serve a search warrant for his arrest on drug charges. Senators are looking into fraud and scams related to the coronavirus pandemic.
There have been 460,000 reports of consumer fraud in the past year, according to the FTC, at a cost of more than $411 million.
Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal calls it a bonanza for swindlers and con artists. Spotify is launching a podcast subscription service in the U.S. The move comes a week after Apple announced its own podcast subscription service. It's also not taking a cut of podcasters' profits for the first 2 years. Apple is taking a 30% cut the first year. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Here are the major rules for all the KKNW online contests. Entries for online contests can be completed on the announced website and will be accepted through the deadline published on the contest page. Winners will be selected at random from all eligible entries received. One entry per person. You could win event tickets, trip giveaways, or other prizes of similar value. To be eligible, you must be at least 18 years old, have not won in the last 30 days, and reside within the KKNW listening area. Complete contest rules are available at 1150kknw.com.
Let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies with a few sun breaks at times. High temperatures around 61, 62 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Low temperatures back down to about 47. Also, a little bit of wind out of the south to southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. On Wednesday, much of the same. Partly cloudy skies. High temperatures around 65 degrees. Same for Wednesday night. Lows down to about 49, 50. Thursday, partly sunny skies. Highs around 71. Low temperatures around 48.
Hey, Seattle, let me ask you something. Are you an entrepreneur thinking about starting your own company? Or maybe you're a career-minded professional looking to scale the corporate ladder, but the path seems a bit foggy? No worries. I got you. My name is Dominic Lawson, and I am the host of The Startup Life. Every Wednesday at 9 a.m., we will go on a journey of self-discovery as I interview the best business minds from around the world. So if you want to clearly see the path forward, tune into The Startup Life, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Learn more at thestartuplifepodcast.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Benny, do you see what I'm doing? I was like, oh, my goodness, I just put something on here, and I'm trying to straighten it out because guess what? We're in the world of video now.
Yep.
And I'm just like, okay, didn't look in the mirror today. And that's okay. It doesn't matter what you see in the mirror, but here's the deal. Whatever it is you see, it's enough. It's actually more than enough. And, you know, today we're going to be talking. We have a really super guest joining us here today. Rabbi Wayne Dossick is joining us here today, author of Living Judaism. And today we're going to be talking about one God, one world, one people, radical loving. We're going to be talking about that in a minute. it's interesting to me, and I want to just chat about this for a minute. I'm just really excited about seeing the looks on people's faces, Benny. Olivia.
Any particular?
And kind of it's like, I know that the pandemic is, quote, not over.
Ah, that's what you mean. Okay.
Yeah.
Those faces.
But I think people are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And if you would have kind of said to me a couple of months ago, did I think that I would have people come on air and on the TV and say, hey, if you're kind of out in public and you've been vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask, right? I'm just thinking about how quickly we went from thinking about all the ways to protect ourselves to this new, fresh moment of hope is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do call it a moment of hope because has no political party. Hope has no religious attachment. Hope has no ego attachment. Hope is one of these things that many people call a spiritual B12 shot. And I think it is one of the most interesting feelings that, you know, that you can have. I know that when many things have failed in my life at different points in time, I think for me, hope is that thing that just kept the little engine going, the little engine that could. What's that? What is that train? What is that?
Yeah.
The engine?
Yeah, the little engine that could. Great story.
Little engine that could. Great story. And I think we have millions of little engines that could right now. Now, having said that, I will say this. We have lived in an extraordinary time. And I thought if I went back to my youth and I thought about my life, I would have been saying, oh, we live in an extraordinary time. And what I realize is every day of our lives is an extraordinary time. You know, every moment of our lives is an extraordinary day, an extraordinary moment. What's the difference between experiencing extraordinary and not? And, you know, key to me and mysterious about experiencing extraordinary is what am I carrying in my heart and what am I carrying in my mind? And more importantly, what am I carrying in my spirit? See, I hope that my idea about hope is that it is the spirit that calls it forward. And that's the thing I focus on. That's the thing I'm really struck by. Is it possible to still have strong feelings about justice? Is it possible to still have strong feelings about what you believe in? Is it possible to have strong feelings about what you believe about politics or worldview? Is it feelings, the latest this morning, whether or not you think the monarch, the queen, should stay or go? That was like on that thing today. Does the queen stay or does the queen go? That's what we're talking about again. And like what? On the day of Diana. Do we stay? Does the queen go? Does the queen stay? Yeah, taxpayer, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Can you have opinions about things that are important to you? So can you have an opinion about an injustice that's happened to you personally and still radically love? The answer is yes. I know it. How do I know it? I have had moments of it. I wish I could tell everybody out there, Dr. Pat gets up every day and she just looks at the injustice in the world and she's like, hey, I love you, everybody. No, that's not me. But I have moments of it, and I do come around. I want to talk about something before we go to break, and then when we come back from break, I want to bring on Rabbi Wayne Gossick. I want to talk about something really important, and I've had a I've had a couple of conversations with people that are close to me in the past. Let me just say the past 2 weeks, maybe the past month. And a lot of that conversation had to do with whether or not people believe that what they're seeing in the headlines, that happen, things that happen to people of color, whether it be black or brown, and now my Asian friends. I don't even want to, I don't have to do a whole show on what's going on with that. But I've listened to people, and it's really interesting because even though people know me, they just don't know my family background. They don't know that I come from a multiracial family. They don't know that. And I just listen. And every once in a while, somebody will look at me and say, what do you think? And they don't do it as much anymore, but they'll ask me, what do you think about this? And I used to be really careful, Benny, about what I said, right? I used to be like, well, you know, if you're over here and you look at it from this perspective and you're over here and you look at it from this perspective, no, there is no time to say dancing around what you see with your eye. There's just no time. And the other day, I found myself thinking about the latest shooting that's in the headlines. And I was talking to a friend of mine about it, and I am still shocked. I got to get Dr. Kathy O'Bear on here again. But I am really shocked that even after people see things, you can't believe it. You can't believe that people of color, whether it's black or brown, it doesn't matter. Let me just say people of color. It's hard for a majority of folks to believe that you could be driving down the street and be pulled over and unequal events of being pulled over and then you're dead. It really is. It's hard. And I thought about this. And I thought about, is there any way I can be of service to this conversation? And I was talking to my friend about it, and I said, you know, do you have any friends of color? Do you have any family members of color? Have you ever been in a car with maybe a friend or a family member, and you're driving down the street, and you're part of an incident? Have you had that happen? And what I realize is we need to all raise up our level of consciousness and awareness about injustices across the board. Now, I'm not saying that's the only injustice, because I could do an entire 5 hours on injustice in the trans LGBTQ community. I could talk to you about how every day people are being beat, being shot, being killed, how it never makes the headline. I could talk to you about that. And I could also talk to you about, wow, if you're part of the LGBTQ community and you are a person of color, oopsie. We could talk about that. But here's what I discovered about radical loving. If we could simply open our hearts for a little bit, what would it be like to stand in someone else's shoes? And I'm really struck by this today because of the conversation I'm getting ready to have with Rabbi Wayne. But more importantly, I remember an experiment way back. Oh, geez, how many years ago is this? When I was in Fairleigh Dickinson, trying to get an undergraduate degree, which I really didn't want to work hard to get. And I was in a sociology class. And I had this professor, and back in the day, Benny, Olivia, you could do, back in the day, you could kind of do like little social experiments, right? You didn't have to be like, oh, we're experimenting on the students. That's not good. So we did little experiments. And I remember one experiment that was done in the class. And it's also a classic experiment. And you walk in a classroom and the class is seated and the teacher's purse or pocketbook or whatever, backpack, right? Let me get current. Backpack is on the desk. So this was an experiment. And all of a sudden, some random person comes in. And they did this in two parts. One was a man. One was a white man, the other one was a man of color, came in. First, the guy comes in, grabs the purse. like he's stealing the purse, like actually like running and grabbing the purse and runs out. Yeah. Does anybody in the classroom move? Does anyone in the classroom say anything? Does anybody say, stop that guy? The next is person of color comes in, nonchalantly, really slow, comes in, grabbing the purse. Does anybody say anything? Then the same experiment with women, same idea. And what's interesting about experiments like this is we get to see at times our true nature. And so what happens with the classrooms when the white people come in and take the purse? Nothing happens. One or two people chit-chat about it. What happens when people of color come in? And so I'm really struck by this today, because I think I answered my own question, and this is what I want to put out to the world. Can you be fired up about an injustice and still love? The answer is yes, but how? How can we do that? I worked with women that have been battered. I've worked with women that have been abused. I've worked with women that have been raped. I've worked with women that have had everything in their lives taken from them. And I think one of the hardest and most heartbreaking things I've ever done is watch the difference between a woman of color that has been raped and a woman not of color that has been raped in the treatment. And I realized today, as my friends were asking me over and over and over again what I thought, I had this moment where I thought to myself, am I going to play it safe with my friends, or am I going to say to them the following? Until you have been in a situation like that and gotten to see how it plays out for you in a car with a person of color that has been pulled over for some random reason and have looked down the barrel of a gun, it's very, very difficult to have a judgment and opinion. And what I find interesting is sometimes I see myself living in this interesting, compartmentalized, almost like people that look at us in Washington State and Seattle, they're like, you people are on another planet. You have your own culture. Yeah, you're over there. But today what I'm really struck by is if I share part of my truth, if I talk about having nieces and nephews that are people of color, having my sister, having grown up in that neighborhood, having worked with a table tennis coach that I can't tell you the amount of times we have been stopped and pulled over because Sam was black. I can't even begin to tell you. But I think my forgetter may have happened somewhere along the way. And today, here's what I'm reminded of. I can still love everybody around me. I can still radically love. But we are one world. We really are one people. And I'm really struck by the fact that we have an enormous opportunity. We have an enormous opportunity to look at each other, to see each other, to really see each other, and to stop for a moment and have compassion. I've lost too many people to random shootings, to random knifings. I've lost too many people, you know, on incidences in life growing up in the neighborhood I grew up with that I sometimes forget about. I forget about them. But I have equal amount of experience to share about love, to share about my sister's journey, living in the projects of projects in Yonkers, New York. The neighborhood was so bad that when I came, they had a cone in the parking spot. And I was to park there, and my car was marked not to touch it. And I go up to my sister's apartment. Her door was never locked. And I walk into a room of diversity that I can't explain. And I saw my white sister in the middle of that. People coming in and out, loved by people in the community, loved by gangsters and pastors alike. And I asked myself the question, what can I do to be more like her? You see, because if she were here today, she would be the pinnacle of radical loving. She would be the pinnacle of how to bring people together in the worst, horrific project conditions you've ever seen. Her door open, food always cooked. And seriously speaking, to be escorted up to her room in an elevator after parking my car and watching a couple of guys put a couple of stickers on it to say, you do not touch this sports car. And by the way, this is me driving a sports car into it, right? And going up in an elevator with a couple of guys, both carrying guns, taking me to my sister's apartment, door wide open, food, you could smell the food, pizza everywhere, people walking in and out every day. How did she do that? How? So here's what I want to say before we go to break. My sister was unique in so many ways, but she lived her life through love. And boy, I got to tell you, she was not given love by my dad or my family. But it didn't matter. She stepped forward, and that's who she became. That's what she taught her children. That's what she love. Love doesn't have a color. It doesn't have a religion. Love doesn't have that. It just doesn't have it. So as I think about this today, I'm also realizing that you can still be angry for injustices. You can get yourself on a mule, and you could be that man that drives through the temples on a mule, knocking over tables, and still be called the master of love. When we come back, Rabbi Wayne Dawson is going to talk about radical loving. Radical loving. And as I do this today, the memory of my sister, Sebastian. Boy, I hope that I have the guts to stand up and step up in a world of radical hate and demonstrate that there's another way to be. She did it. No PhD. She did it. And we need it. Let's take a short break.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Trish Love from A Cup of Comfort, where we talk about care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Here's your care hero tip of the day. During all care hero journeys, the need to keep track of a lot of information arises, some of it critical. Possibly the greatest challenge care heroes face is the gathering and organizing of information. Just as every trade has a power tool, whether an electric drill or a laptop, my family's care hero power tool was the three-ring binder. We generated a mini library of labeled three-ring binders, one for each category of information, complemented with additional spiral notebooks used to detail medical appointments and episodes. This unfussy and convenient system of binders helped my family stay organized and able to deliver the dignified care and end of life my parents desired. Tune into my show to learn more. See you on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 12 Pacific here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at info@trishlaub.com.
The truth is funny. This happens with Colette Marie Stephan is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease. From stagnation to forward movement. From old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there. But when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life. From your relationships to your health and well-being. From your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. The reason I was talking about love before and was struck by my sister and what she taught me, and which I'm still learning, I'm a work in progress, was because, you know, Dr. Rabbi Wayne Dossick joining me here today. The book, that one of the books he has written, but this one is Radical Loving, One God, One World, One People. And, you know, when I'm reading the book, and I'm really struck by my sister as I go through the book, and I'm having moments and flashbacks of her, and recently being asked questions by friends and family, you know, is that really happening? You know, are people of color really be treating like this? And, you know, you get a moment in time where you have to speak up and say, yeah, how do you know, Pat? Well, I've been there. You know, I come from a family, a multiracial family. I know what it's like to be in a car. I know what it's like to be pulled over. I know what it's like to be pulled out of the car. I know that. And so how can you experience life and still love? That was my sister. It didn't matter, cut off from the family, really looked at as a pariah, all of the above, and was one of the most loved and revered and loved back and revered people person. That's why today's conversation with Rabbi Wayne is so important. Welcome to the show, Rabbi Wayne. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. Nice to see you again.
There's so many places I want to go to talk with you about, but I want to start out with what I said. I think we have a lot of misconceptions about loving and more about radically loving. I think that when we see people that are, let's just call it, emotional, that are fired up about something. I watched this special documentary on Greta Thunberg the other day. You know, we look at somebody like that and we say, hating Greta because she's fired up and passionate about the climate. You know, threats to her family, to her, to kill her. And the confusion I think we're having about loving is that if you're loving, you're unemotional. You don't really have things that you're going to speak out about. I want to hear from your perspective about the many faces of radical loving.
The many faces of radical loving all are in one face, and that is the face of God.
Yeah.
So it's very simple. We are all human beings created in the image of God. And God is the one God, the parent of us all. And God doesn't play favorites. God loves each and every one of us equally, regardless of how we think that we're God's favorites. God loves all of us equally. And so part of our task is to see the face of God, not only in the face of God, but in the face of every other human being who is a child of God just as we are, and to reflect our godness to that other person, and to reflect and to bathe in the reflection of other people's godness in that we see. And when you see the face of God, when you see the face of God in God and in another human being, there's only one response possible, and that response is love. Because God is love, we are love, and our response has to be love, regardless of who that person is.
You know, I want to comment on the way you wrote this book, if I could. I was so thrilled when I started to read it and open it up, because you're not just giving us information. What my experience of reading your book, and I really got stuck on a couple of places in the book, not stuck in a bad way, but really stuck, attracted, right?
No,
not like, I don't get that, right? That didn't happen. But it was like, okay, I gotta memorize this. Can I just tell you what I'm referring to?
Sure, please.
I got to one of the pages, and there are many, but I got to this page, and I said, I've got to memorize this. This has got to be my morning prayer. You know, yes, I got the prayer of St. Francis, yeah, but this one, and it's on page 59, and you say love. It says, love is complete, unequivocal, non-judgmental, unconditional, unrestricted, unrestrained. Our love, given freely and fully, delights the heart, awakens the spirit, and transforms the soul. And then you almost, my words, you give us a series of mantra. And we could take one or we could take them all. But I looked at this and I said, you know, I need to be doing this every day. So here we go. And I'm not going to read them all, but I want to talk with you. Love transcends all limitations of time and place. And I want to start with that before I keep going. Love transcends all limitations of time and place. That's what I saw in my sister. It didn't matter. She lived in the worst neighborhood, pretty much, I think, on the planet. Door never locked, always open, food, people from every race, every religion. You know, when the Muslim friend came in, we made sure that the prayer mat went down and he prayed. If she could do it. So can you talk? Love transcends all limitations of time and place.
Not only time and place on this earth, but time and place in eternity, because each human soul is an eternal soul. And sometimes we are here in body on earth, and sometimes we are on the other side with God. And our eternal soul is filled with love. And our job, our task as human beings, is to manifest that love and to give it, to receive it and to give it. And so it's I'm so sorry about the loss of your sister.
Yeah.
But it sounds as if she was an incredible human being who lived love. And when you live love, you attract the kind of people whom you describe coming to her open door. What a wonderful metaphor and a truthful statement that becomes a metaphor as well. An open door to human beings to love.
Yeah. I am so struck by what you've been able to put in this book. And what I mean by that, and for those of you just tuning in, Rabbi Dasik joining me here today, Radical Loving, One God, One World, One People. And, you know, this is one of these books, you open it up and you think you're going to get something, and you get something so much more than what you thought you were going to get. And what I was struck by is, this is a message. I'm going to call your book a message, if you don't mind.
Please.
This is a message or a series of messages that has to be by my side every day. I have to be reminded. I want to talk to you about what I call the human forgetter, the forgetter that we are beings of love. Because what I read about here is I read about every page is a reminder of how infinite capacity to love. What have you seen in people? How do we bring that forward?
You know, I believe it was the Jesuit priest Desjardins.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's become so cliche now that it's printed on napkins and the buttons that people wear around. But it's absolutely true that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yep.
And so part of what has happened to us is we have lost consciousness. Consciousness and awareness that God is everywhere and that every moment is a holy moment and every moment is a loving moment. And when we get caught up in anger and distrust and fear, then what happens is we demonize the other. And we've heard about that quite a bit in the last 4 or 5 years in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
And when that happens, we give license to people to manifest hate instead of love. So hopefully the tone is changing, not only with my book, but with politics and with others who are becoming more and more spiritually aware, to know that everything that we have tried up until now has failed.
Yeah.
Because our cemeteries are full of young men and women who went to war for a countries throughout the history of the world that were going to war for a bit more power and a bit more greed and to extend a little boundary and to put a little more in the treasury. That's not how we're to live.
Mm-hmm.
We're to live as if the love infuses everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we can be. And so that's the message, thank you for the word, the message of this book, to be in radical love all the time and to make the world on its journey back to Eden once again.
And, you know, look, what you're talking about and what the book talks about is, I'm going to kind of flip it for a minute if I could, and I would like to talk to you about it. You know, I really hated to admit to myself after being on the planet this many years and seeing things that I protested about. I mean, to this day, I still don't understand the Vietnam War. Never did when I was growing up. Really just, I mean, people don't even, when you say Vietnam War, they're like, what was that war? When was that? Was that like a real war? I mean, honestly, you know, it's almost as if it dropped off the face of history because we've replaced it with Iraq, Afghanistan, right? But I grew up in that era, and I grew up trying to, as many people, get answers. Why are we there? What are we doing? And watch my friends every day die, not have an understanding of it. And one of the things that I realized is, that painful experience raised a new level of awareness, which then raised a new level of consciousness. And what I'm watching now in the headlines with people of color, I believe it's doing the same thing. I just don't think you can watch a video for 9 minutes. I don't care what race you are. I don't think you can watch a 9-minute video and not feel something. But yet there are people that don't. And I want to ask you this. Are we to always to continue to learn and rise up based on the visible injustices that we see? I'm looking for an easier way, but I got to tell you, I'm having a hard time finding it my way.
Yes, and. Yes, and. You're absolutely right. I also am a child of the Vietnam era. I was, I didn't serve, but I was inducted in the Army as a reserve military chaplain while I was in rabbinical school, while I was in seminary. And I was in the midst of the civil rights movement as well.
Yeah.
I grew up on the old south side of Chicago. And my daddy had grocery stores in black neighborhoods purposefully for 30 and more years. We had the same black employees and the same black customers for decades. And I worked in those stores, and I spent a great deal of time on anti-war and pro-civil rights picket lines and work. But look at how far, I mean, it's still incredibly painful, but look at how far we really have come in these 50 years since you and I were kids.
Yeah. Oh.
Since you and I were young adults.
Oh.
So, I mean, you remember 1987, was the harmonic convergence.
Yes.
I talk about this in Radical Loving.
Yeah.
And we held hands and we sang songs and everybody thought we were absolutely crazy. And in the years following that, the Soviet Union fell, the satellite countries fell, Black and White started riding the bus together in Johannesburg. The Jews and Arabs sat down at peace tables in Israel, and Protestant and Catholics laid down their arms in Northern Ireland. Now, did singing a few songs and holding hands make a difference? Well, some would say no, and I would say yes.
Yeah.
Because if you send out a vibration of love, that vibration of love circles the universe and comes back to us.
Yeah.
You know, we read in the Bible that the seraphim, the archangels, stand at the heavenly throne and shout out, Kadosh, 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 holy, 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 which in Latin, the Latin Mass is Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus.
Right.
And by singing that song, it sends the love vibration to Earth, God's love vibration to Earth. And in turn, we send our love vibration back to the heavens. And it circles the Earth. It circles the Earth. So everything we do, the lessons are incredibly hard and incredibly painful. But each one is a step toward moving from this, if you will, 3D world to the 5D world of Eden on Earth once again. I know I repeat that a number of times in the book, but that's the goal. The goal is that the separation, the disconnection that happened with what's called the fall out of Eden can be healed. And can be fixed and can be balanced once again. And there are many, many ways to do that, which we talk about in the book as well. And that's the pathway that we have to be on, because the world has become such a tiny little village because of technology that either we learn to live together or, God forbid, we will perish together.
And, you know, you're right. You say it in the book. I want to take a short break because when we come back, I want to really talk about, there are many things to talk about, but I want to talk about two that's related to what you just said. Do not fear and spiritual intent. Do not fear and spiritual intent. Strange bedfellows, you might be thinking as you're listening to this, do not fear spiritual intent. But what happens when you put these two peas in the same pod? What happens when there's an ignition between these two? And there's so many more in the book. And, you know, like I said before, there's not a page in this book that you go to where you cannot read out loud and feel the change, feel the shift, get a message. It is about, as Rabbi Wayne says, the power of all. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Creating and living the upturned way, soul designed for self-enlightenment and self-healing. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio the second and the fourth Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with me, Vivian Chauvet. As we transcend the third dimensional plane of reality, we move into higher realms of existence. Let us reclaim our sovereignty as divine essence of light and unite our voices to successfully manifest ascension on Earth. For information on our services, Copper Art Store, and to connect with me, visit infinitehealingfromthestars.com. That is infinitehealingfromthestars.com. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with me, Vivian Chauvet.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss, every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Welcome back. If you just joined in, I'm here with Rabbi Gossick. First of all, how do people find out about you, and how do they get a copy of your book? Let's just chat about that for a second.
Well, actually, the publication date of the book is not till May 21st.
Right.
So I don't know if this is a live show.
Yes, it is.
We have about a month to go. But it is up on Amazon and bookstore and BarnesandNoble.com, all the online booksellers, and you can go and pre-order it. And it will be delivered on publication day. Well, also, the website is under construction, as they say in the biz, and it will be radicallovingbook.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there you'll be able to find out more about the book. And we are also creating right now a musical accompaniment that used to be called CDs. There will be hard copy CDs available, but there will be downloads on Spotify and on iTunes and on the website radicallovingbook.com, where you'll be able to listen to three or four of the chants, as we used to say on the old South Side of Chicago, free for nothing, and then you can purchase the download or purchase even a hard copy CD, because we have beautiful chants that go along with this book, because chanting opens our souls and opens the channel. So, the book will be available on May 21st, but pre-orders this very moment. After we finish Dr. Pat's show, then you can go to Amazon or bookstore or Barnes & Noble and pre-order right now.
And that's really what I suggest people to do, because I happen to have an advanced copy, and that's why I'm able to share what I'm sharing. I'm going to change up a little bit what I wanted to talk about, because I know we've got a few minutes left. There are two things that, as I finished reading the book, you know, the first time around, I had a moment, and I have to ask you about this, because it's worth talking about in the world we live in today, and that's awesome holiness. I really want to start by having a conversation about awesome holiness, and I just love saying it. And then when I use the acronym awesome holiness, it's just And so I had this moment with this as I started to think about this and then read about it, and I thought, I got to ask him about this, because if we are not there now, how can we get there in day-to-day practices?
Well, first of all, you'll be able to remember this very, very well, because I made up a song about it. So that song is going to be on the Chant CD. It goes, holy, holy, awesome holiness. Holy, holy, awesome holiness. Holy, holy, awesome holiness. Holy, holy, awesome holiness. So you'll remember that, because it's a great, great song.
I love that.
Thank you. Awesome holiness means to be constantly aware of the presence, the here-ness, the immediacy of the divine, of God in our lives, in every thought and word and deed. You know, I ask the people, what if, look, I just want to say this name, Darnella Frazier. Darnella Frazier was the little girl, 17 years old, who had the presence of mind and the courage to stand there with her iPhone taking the 9.5 minute video of the murder in Minneapolis.
Without that,
it would have been one of those other cases, another one of those cases where the perpetrator got off. She had that. So I always ask people, what if your every word and deed of today were recorded on a constantly running video camera, and your word and deed of today were going to be on the 6 o'clock news, and you have to call your parents or your children or your grandchildren and say, watch me on the news tonight. Would you be proud and happy, or would you be embarrassed and ashamed? You know, it's the great old story about the cafeteria line where there's a plate of steaming, wonderfully smelling chocolate chip cookies, and the sign says, take a chocolate chip cookie, and people started taking two and three, so they put up a sign that said, please take only one, God's watching. And then you go around the cafeteria line, there's this big bowl of shiny apples, and it says, take as many apples as you want, God's watching the chocolate chip cookies. So it's the here-ness, the presence of God in every word and every thought and every deed. And it is meeting the needs of the community to make the life of another as precious to you as your own. That's hard, but it's love your neighbor as yourself, because your neighbor is just like you, except your neighbor is very different as well. I always ask people, you know, if my neighbor is feeling terrible and I want to make, let's say, him or her feel better, I could get tickets for the baseball game because that would make me feel better, but maybe he would rather go to the ballet or to the theater.
Right.
So you love your neighbor, but you love your neighbor the way your neighbor needs to be loved. And so that's what awesome holiness is. It's namaste. The God in me, the divine in me, sees the divine in you, and I hope that the divine in me is seen by you.
You know, I think you're touching on a number of different things. I want to go back to something I mentioned before the break, spiritual intent and fear and love. Some people watch the news right now. Some people, not saying our listeners, they watch the news and they see people of color outraged. And they form an opinion. And they have judgments. And then we have stories that we're going to make up about it. Because it's not possible for that to happen to a human being. It's not in their minds. It's not possible. Even with a 9-minute video, it's not possible. Even with 20-second footage, the latest headlines, it's not possible. And I think if we could try to put ourselves in another person's shoes, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's me putting myself in another person of color shoes or them in mine. If we could come to the table and do that in a way that allows us to rise up against injustice. Before you came on, I talked about the atrocities right now that were going on in the LGBTQ and trans community. I talked about the fact that I live in the Pacific Northwest. And my Asian table tennis friends can't walk down the street because they're afraid of getting mugged or shot. And I am an optimist, and some people call me Pollyanna, because I still have an idea that if we all came together and held hands and maybe cooked food for each other, maybe we would have a level of understanding. What will it take for us to start the radical loving movement?
Sometimes it's very simple. One of the things I teach in this book is to say, FANAMI, find a need and meet it. Which means that, you know, God forbid there's a tragedy. Now, this happens all the time. Somebody dies, and you want to comfort the mourner. So you say to the mourner, anything you need, just call me. Call me anything. I'll do anything for you, anything you want. I remember back in 1996, our house burned down in Southern California wildfire. We lost our home and everything in it. And one of the kindest, sweetest, gentlest, and wealthiest men I knew came to me and said, Rabbi, whatever is mine is yours. Ask me for anything. What was I going to do? Say hello? Buy me dinner? Buy me a suit? Build me a house? What was I going to say? So I wound up saying nothing, right?
Yeah.
But find the need and meet it. If there's going to be a funeral, people are coming in from out of town, say to the mourner, what time is your brother-in-law coming in the airport? I'll go pick him up.
Right.
Do you need your dry cleaning picked up at the dry cleaner so that you have a shirt to wear to the service? Here, I'll take the kids for the night and give them pizza and find a simple little thing. Find a need and meet it. I remember once when my kids were little, we used to buy an extra item of non-perishable food every grocery trip to give to the hungry and the needing in our community. And one day I took a box of Cheerios off the shelf and I said to my son, how about this for our food gift this week? And he grabbed the cereal. He's no more than 5 years old, maybe. He grabbed the cereal, put it back on the shelf, reached up on his tippy toes and took a different box. And I said, hey, what's the difference? Cereal. He said, no, Dad. Kids like sugar frosted flakes better than Cheerios, and there are hungry kids out there, too, who want sugar frosted flakes.
Yeah, boy. That is the truth.
Taught me not to see a category, not the needy or the poor or the hungry, but the face of another human being who likes sugar frosted flakes better than Cheerios. So it can be very, very simple. Very simple. My friend Father O'Leary, with whom I used to teach at the University of San Diego. So he's a rabbi on the faculty of a Catholic university. I used to get beaten up in my neighborhood by the kids who thought that I personally had killed their Lord. And he never met a Jew until he was 21 years old. And one kid came up to us on campus one day and said, you know, the two of you are a living sermon. I never knew a Jew until I came here, and I had prejudice against Jews. But if the two of you can be friends, maybe I should meet some Jews and become friends. Step by step, we don't have to change the entire world. We have to change the world of our tiny little world each and every day.
Thank you so much for today. I hope you will come back when this book pops right out there, but it is available for people now. Please, once more, if you would, let folks know how they can get a copy and pre-order. And then I'd love to know what your personal message is, Rabbi Dussek.
Radical loving, one God, one world, one people. Published by Monkfish Publishing, a great, great spiritual house located in upstate New York, in Rhinebeck, New York.
Yep.
Paul Cohn is the publisher. And it's available right now by pre-order on Amazon and Bookstore and Barnes & Noble, all the .com booksellers online. You can go right now and pre-order it. And then it will be up on the website, which will be up in about 3 or 4 weeks, which is called radicallovingbook.com.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
God loves you. God loves each and every one of us. God doesn't play favorites. God loves each and every one of us equally. We are all children of God. We are all children of the universe. And God is crying out to us right now. God is calling to us and saying, my children, I love you, my precious children, I love you so much. Don't hurt each other. Don't fight with each other. Don't hate each other. Elevate the human spirit. Don't crush it. Love, love, love.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday morning to you. Closer to the afternoon, as we expected. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Start of things off over an I-5 southbound, just south of 196th Street Southwest, around milepost 181. A recent collision partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Current backup now is about 2 miles, so bring a pace along with you again on I-5 southbound. just south of 196th Street. But that's right. Stay tuned, because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and the work of creation with Christine Clark. Stay tuned.
Radio. I'm Tim Roberts. President Biden plans to address progress made in the coronavirus pandemic in the coming hour. NBC's Kristen Welker has a preview.
We anticipate he is going to announce these new CDC guidelines that will relax mandates for wearing masks outdoors for people who are fully vaccinated.
The Biden administration is also expected to announce other new recommendations for people who are fully vaccinated. Some employees working on government contracts could soon see a pay increase. President Biden is expected today to sign an executive order to raise the minimum wage for federal contractors and tipped employees. An independent autopsy shows a black man killed by police in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, died from a bullet to the back of his head. This is attorney Wayne Kendall, who represents the family of Andrew Brown, Jr.
He was leaving the site trying to evade being shot at by these particular law enforcement officers, who we believe did nothing but a straight-out execution.
The attorneys talked today in front of the Elizabeth City Police Department, and a crowd could be heard yelling, "Arrest them," as more details of the autopsy were disclosed. Police say Brown was shot last week after deputies tried to serve a search warrant for his arrest on drug charges. Senators are looking into fraud and scams related to the coronavirus pandemic.
There have been 460,000 reports of consumer fraud in the past year, according to the FTC, at a cost of more than $411 million.
Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal calls it a bonanza for swindlers and con artists. Spotify is launching a podcast subscription service in the U.S. The move comes a week after Apple announced its own podcast subscription service. It's also not taking a cut of podcasters' profits for the first 2 years. Apple is taking a 30% cut the first year. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Drive Time Radio with New York Vinny.
Hi, it's New York Vinny inviting you to join me as I return to Seattle with another one of my passions, cars. And our version of Drive Time is a weekly look at the automotive world from classics right on through to electrics. Each week we'll review the new, reminisce about the old, and talk about a lifestyle that is built around cars and the people who drive them. Saturday mornings at 8. Right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, with some mostly cloudy skies with a few sun breaks at times. High temperatures around 61, 62 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Low temperatures back down to about 47. Also, a little bit of wind out of the south to southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. On Wednesday, much of the same. Partly cloudy skies. High temperatures around 65 degrees. Same for Wednesday night. Lows down to about 49.50. Thursday, partly sunny skies, highs around 71. Low temperatures around 48.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seat, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. It's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring. And coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Great to have all of you tune us in, turn us on. We are here with Christine Clark. Okay, so what I'd love... So I've gotten to know Christine over the last couple of months, and one of the things, here's what I want to say. You know how you know when you meet somebody that's in their zone of creation? What starts to happen is they show up, and they have this brilliant coaching platform called Forging a Life,
And the truth in the creation of katana, truths in creation of katana, and we'll maybe touch upon that so you see where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at her, when you think about her life, self-employment, coaching platform, entrepreneurial lifestyle, a speaker, a trainer, and we then look at what she has done to create a platform that we can actually understand, like forging,
mm-hmm.
and then to use, I don't know if I'm going to, the phases of what it means to forge and create this katana, and you'll see this in her background. Today's show is about this, work of creation. Do you believe you are? And if you believe you're a work of creation, do you believe that you can shape yourself? Or do you believe that you're a victim of the environment?
Mm.
Do you believe you have what it takes to get fired up and move forward or step backwards?
Yeah. You got to believe that you are a work of creation. Absolutely.
Oh my God. And that's really where I want to start, because I haven't always believed that in myself. But I did get tapped on the shoulder at an early age, which helped me believe. And I want to start the conversation about that. And you said it best. What does that mean for us to say to our listeners, you got to believe?
Absolutely. You know, we are. We are a work of creation. We are in it. If you're engaging with life, if you're engaging with your business, you're in the process. You're in the process. And I understand what you were just said about not always believing that. Yeah, I've gone back over the last, at least 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, trying to revamp some of my content and get it down to the core, you know, what's my message. And there's a lot of days where it just doesn't feel like it's happening. We think, what's wrong? You know, did I lose my mojo? But no, you just have to stick with it. You have to continue to believe and stay in the work. Yeah.
You know, I one of the things that I'm really clear about in being able to chat with you over these months and really part of today is there's a level of truth, right? When we're talking about forging and we're talking about the art of forging a katana, by the way, let's tell people that what is behind you is a katana.
Right, for those
that don't know. Right. And they can listen to your previous shows because we talk about how you made that or how it is made.
Right.
Let's talk about where to begin, because a lot of people say, great, I believe. Now, where do I begin? Where's the initial forging? When's that going to happen, Christine? How does it happen?
It already happened, Pat.
Dang.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. When we're, you know, initially we're drawn out, you know, and what we want to do and, you know, initially is we have to understand what shaped us, you know, what happens. Because as small children, you know, we imprint on what's around us. And our only reference is, I did this. I made this happen. You know, and then we take verbatim what's happening around us. This is how parents are. This is how moms are. This is how families operate until we get out in the world and we get some more reference. And we talk about the formative years. And that formative is true because we do get instilled in us behaviors that are instinctual. Our uniqueness as an individual is shaped in multiple unfathomable ways. And as we grow and get into adulthood, sometimes we have to take a look at where did this come from and is this working for me or why do I have these things? Our oldest child, who is now 21, used to ask permission. He'd ask permission to have whatever's in the refrigerator. He'd ask permission to have whatever was around. Things that we as a family just knew that, like, you're part of the family, you can have this. And we don't know, you know, where that came from, but it was, you know, deeply attached and it was instinctual for him. And he has grown out of that. But I've been thinking about where did that come from? And I remember as a parent once leaving him in a bassinet, when he was an infant, laid him down to take a nap. It was a gorgeous, beautiful spring day. I went outside to do some yard work. And I wasn't gone maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes tops. I come back in, and he is wailing, red in the face.
hysteric, and I pick him up and I hold on to him and I comfort him. And I don't know if that really had an impact, but that's what happens to us when we experience something as when we have no other reference, and then it instills pieces of us that may or may not serve us. Like for him, asking permission for everything, does that, you know, can I connect the dots directly? Probably not, but that is how things work. And then you have to recognize, you know, what our reflexes are and what's helping us, what's not, and how can we change that? How can we go back and rewrite, you know, some of that stuff that happened before we were even aware?
You know, I love all the things we've talked about, because a couple of shows ago, there was sort of this aha moment for me, and I want to talk to you about it because it directly relates to what we're talking about today with the work of creation. Here's the thing that I'd love for you to talk about, right? It is this. There is a part of knowing ourselves where even after, let's say, Christine, what happens. We take a step forward and we think, OMG. I wish I could take that back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you've done that, but I think I've
not
done
today.
It. Maybe Jacob's done it, maybe Benny's done it. But you just do it, whether it's a word, whether it's an emotional reaction, you take it and you wish you can get it back.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we go through life, we do that, and we don't even see it to wish we would have taken it back.
Right.
Talk
right.
to us about this knowing ourselves, because if we know ourselves, we may be able to make an adjustment to the blade.
Absolutely. And it's what you just talked about, being able to say something or put something out there and wishing you could retract it. That's the moment when we can have awareness, because everything starts with awareness. You have to be able to see what's going on in order to make a shift and change. And once you have seen it, you have to be willing to do the work to shift or change that creation.
When you're working with steel, and I'm just going to keep referencing this because I think it's the coolest thing, but using this, we have beautiful, beautiful steel in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds, if we were to look at our minds as just this flexible, yet strong, yet perfect thing to shape, just like the blade. There are things we can do to either make meaning, change meaning, revise meaning, and create new stories. Can you talk to that? Because, see, I think in my life, if I think about the stories kind of I conjured up when I was in my teenage years,
mm-hmm.
boy, oh boy, I'm lucky to be alive today. Talk about that, because that is so important.
Absolutely. You know, the initial shaping that happens to us is a combination of our environment, our brain processes, and our inner child, the way the operating manual goes. And it all creates judgments and stories for us. And we learn these things and they become embodied, and then we don't even know that they're happening until we get some awareness, until something happens. And, you know, if you get too close to the fire, you're going to get burned. That's a good lesson to know, and it's a good one to hold on to. But there's other things that are embodied in us that are not serving us, like getting overly stressed out. When I was in direct sales, I would go out, and I was so stressed prior to going out to do a party because everything had to be perfect. I had to have everything in place. Had a friend come in and visit me from out of state. We were going to go do a party at my stepmom's house. And I'm getting ready, and my friend says, Christine, breathe. Just take a breath and breathe. And it was that moment where I realized how strung out I was, and I was so caught up in perfectionism rather than the fun of going out and doing this work. And it was that
piece that brought the awareness that I was able to then shift my perspective and grow a little bit and let go of this idea that I have to show up a certain way and I can just be myself. But it takes being in it, and it takes having the awareness and then choosing to do something with that.
Wow. I want to take a short break, because when we come back, I think what we're going to be talking about is one of the most critical points, I think, in the body of work that you do. And it is that idea of forward motion, but what does this mean to be looking inside the curve? What happens in that process, that pre-curve? What is
where
that
work
about?
Goes.
Well, am I making a katana or am I making a fork? Let's take a short break. But before we do, how do people find out about you? Let's give them your website.
Yeah, people can find me at sunglowtransformation.com. I am also on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn, all under Sunglow Transformation. It's easy.
Living your path. When we come back, everybody, we'll be right back.
All right.
The Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Annabelle. When my brother, Christian, went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there's things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go. Whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle, that process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them. That's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can find me at HannahBelton.online.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the energy paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The energy paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit SarahKRamsey.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Shades of Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendar. Shades of Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and Spirit Walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-920-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
My life, my life, my life, my life, and the sunshine. Everybody loves the sunshine.
Hey,
everybody. Welcome back. So great to have all of you tune in. Work of Creation with Christine Clark joining me here today. For those of you that are just tuning in, go to sunglowtransformation.com. Everything about Christine is there, her coaching program, what she does to help people, how to forge a life. And we are talking about truths in the creation of katana. And if you look at Christine, when we pop her on the video, you'll see the katanas behind her. What we're going to be talking about now is so important. It's so important. It is the thing that either helps us move forward or not. And I can talk from my own life experience. You know, so let's talk about living our path. But living our path and forward motion, sometimes they're like oil and vinegar, better known as Italian dressing.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, because in that second step of the katana, after it's drawn out, it's put into a pre-curve, and it's planned out, and then you're on the path to creating a katana. But the problem with that is that nothing ever survives implementation. You have all the plans, you have the idea of what you're doing, and then you have to go and do it. And sometimes it goes smoothly, and sometimes you get obstacles put in the way, or people throw curveballs at you. And you have to stay on the path, on the curve, and live it so that you can get things straightened out.
You're going to show us something.
I am. I'm going to show you.
Let's do it. Jacob's going to get you up here. We're going to, and you're going to tell us what this is, because I have to tell you that I have been feeling over the last month or so like one of the points on this. But take it away. Show us this, because right in the background, just move your head a little bit. I want people to see that katana.
Right. Finished, shiny, beautiful, put together. It starts out drawn out, and then it gives a curve. And this is the katana in the pre-curve. And the weird thing about this is this, the underside, the inside of the curve is what actually becomes the edge. And so as you put the edge on,
not the outside.
Straight inside. No, no. The inside of the curve becomes the edge. And this piece, you think, well, there's a point. That should, you know, but no. As you put the edge on, this all chain transforms and becomes the point.
But that makes sense, because it is the inside of us.
Right.
It is the inside of us
right.
that creates the edge. It's going to be a sharp edge. We're going to be able to slide through it. It's going to not be a sharp edge. It's going to be a damaged edge. It's the inside of us.
It's the inside of us. You have to do the inside work. And the cool thing about the pre-curve and the working is as you engage, as you do the work, yes, you're going to figure out new strategies. You're going to figure out new ways of doing it. You get to be creative. And as you are doing these pieces, you're also changing who you are inside. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the only way to get there is to engage it, to do the work, and put that edge on.
You know, I want to ask you about, I want to talk about a couple of things here for a minute. Learning. I talk about learning. I talk about life lessons. I've been talking about it. I broke down in the earlier show talking about my sister and what she reminds me of today. She passed on way too young. But I'm really struck by the fact that I'm now absorbing and learning some of the lessons from her. I want to ask you, in this stage, sometimes it feels like we cannot learn a single thing. Like I'm standing on the edge of that, you know, like during the break, you put that thing on top of the blade, right? And you said, that's us. I think you said, that's me. And I think I feel like that.
Right.
Where I'm not moving, I can't see, like, where I'm going. Tell us about how this becomes our greatest learning.
Right. Because when you're on the curve and you're doing the work and that's you, and you're looking forward and it curves down and away from you, you cannot see the path. Even if you've planned it all out, you know the plan's there, but you can't see it, and you have to step in and you have to implement, and you have to do the work somewhat in faith, believing that you can accomplish what you want to get. And as you do the work, a little bit more gets to be seen. And sometimes we're at this point where it feels like we're hammering away and we're not getting, we don't get to see anything more forward. It's blank out there. We're looking, staring out into space and thinking, where am I and how do I get where I want to go? Because we're doing the work and we're not feeling like we're getting anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm really struck by is what you showed us. Hold that up again if you don't mind. I don't know if you still have it. Okay. This is a phase we're looking at in creation of Katana. It also represents our own creation. And behind you represents a final.
The finished product. Right.
The finished product.
Mm-hmm.
How, and so I know that if you've made a million of these, right, you know that you're going to get something. But in life, when we are at that place, it's hard for us to hold the faith that even if I don't see it, I am going to be able to adapt. I'm going to be able to change. I'm going to be able ...
Yeah. And doing the work is where your greatest learning is going to happen. And you're going to get self-knowledge from doing that inner work. You're going to get insights from your actions and from your outcomes. And only by sticking with it and repeating the process and staying in the work do you get what you want. I do some pulpit supply in my area. I'm a lay speaker. And so every so often somebody calls and says, hey, can you fill in? This past Sunday, I went ahead and I said yes, and I filled pulpit and led worship. But what happened to me last Sunday was that I felt that the message went from my head down into my body, and it shifted. And what happened was that I was getting really good at blending the messages of self-development, because I'm a life coach and this is what I do, and able to connect it with themes that work inside the structure of the church. And quite honestly, Pat, I enjoy speaking, but sometimes these two pieces were very difficult to meld. And this last time, it worked, and I was able to have a message that combine both of these, and I felt like I was sharing what was important to me, or I was being my most honest, real self in this.
Yeah.
Now, I've been filling in off and on for years, and this time it clicked. So that's what happens. You have to keep showing up and going back if it's something you enjoy, if it's something that you want to do, and you have to keep doing the work. Eventually, it'll click. And that's doing that work on that pre-curve, and eventually you'll see a little bit further down the path, and something will fall into place, and it's like, yeah, okay, and then you keep going.
You know, as I was getting ready to do this show with you, and I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how many times, you know, that I could think of, the things that came to mind where I was in this stage, right? And here recently, I find myself in this stage.
Right.
For a lot of reasons. And sometimes things happen, for example, and we are in this stage, and we are at the point where we are either going to respond in a way that says, yes, I can fix this, I can adjust this,
mm-hmm.
or I just feel the agony of defeat. And you talk about insights from actions and outcomes. And
right.
I just want to drive that home for a minute, because even if a disaster is on the verge of happening, there might be an insight that would help us in the future, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You get to learn, and you learn more from the crashes and from the burn than you do when things go smoothly. And yes, you can learn more about processes and technical understandings, but nothing compares to the self-empowerment that occurs when you learn about yourself, when you are challenged, when you have to meet your fears, when you have to face those demons that say, I don't know what's going to go on, or I think this is all going to blow up. And those are the parts that reach down into our core. And, yeah, we can question, do I have what it takes? When you stay with the work, you're going to find out, yes, you do. And there's nothing like that, please.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to take a short break because when we come back, that's what we're going to talk about next. You know, how often have we used the word grind? Yeah, I'm in the daily grind. Yeah, grind. Yeah, just grinding away at this. But what if your grinding could produce a beautiful katana that's behind Christine? Mm-hmm. What if you could see that the grinding is not for naught? It is for that pathway we talked about in initial forging.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're feeling like you're grinding and you're just chasing your tail, Christine Clark is going to take us on that journey because that's what she does. She helps people forge a life. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com. Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com. Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Author Ben.
funny that, you know, since we're talking about the katana, oh, we're not talking about firing today or firing it up. I thought you might have been playing burning down the house.
I know, but that was a good one.
You know, that, I'm a little old school on that, but, oh, I love that song. It's so crazy. Hey, everybody, look, I love what Christine Clark has done because I relate to these metaphors. Not everybody will, but I relate to this. And I've learned so much about the forging process. You know, it's hard to think about our lives without saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm on the inside of the curve right here. This is what I'm looking at. That inside of the curve doesn't look like that's going to look like that thing over there. How do I keep the faith in that? Here's what I've learned about myself. I need a lot of help. I'm the type of person that has to have a number of different coaches because I made a commitment to myself and my team and the people that I love that I want to show up as the best version of myself. And I can't always do that if it is just me that is trying to figure it out. And that's what this show is about. It's about getting support, coaching, help, because you deserve to have the life you want. And sometimes you've got to find the person that you line up with to say, wait a minute, I'm on the inside of the blade, but I got to tell you, that's not feeling like that's going to look like that. Christine Clark's here to help. How do we find out about you? How do we find out about your coaching and any other program you have? Because right now, people really need help.
Absolutely, Pat. People can find me on my website, which is Sunglow Transformation. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook and hook up with me on LinkedIn also through Sunglow Transformation. On the website, there is the Get Glowing blog. Go ahead and read those and comment. We'll have a conversation. I work with people one-on-one, which is the most empowering connection that there is possible. I also do small groups, which I call masterminds, where we do some content, we have some accountability, we check in, and we keep ourselves moving forward and getting to where we want to go. I also do training and speaking. You can bring me to your people and have a conversation or just share some good inspiration. But those are the different ways that you can connect with me on the website. There's a link to just click and say, hey, this is what I want to talk to you about, or I just want to have a conversation. You can book yourself a free coaching consult just to try it on for size and see if we're a fit. Maybe move you a step forward. All of that's available at sunglowtransformation.com.
One of the things I want to really address and talk to is this next part, grinding. Anytime we hear the word grind or grinding, many people think, OMG, my dentist. Other people are thinking, like I said to you, I grew up on the East Coast, and my dad would be like the daily grind every day, daily grind, you know, get on subway, daily grind. But grinding is so important. And
absolutely.
Let's just blow the lid off this if we could. What is the purpose of grinding? And how can we change the perception of the outcome of grinding for folks today?
Right. You know, grinding has a bad rap as something that's really hard, difficult. People talk about the grind when it's really tough. And the truth with grinding is that it is releasing what does not serve you. It's a smoothing out of the roller coaster of the bumps so that you can move forward faster so that you can have flow. And grinding is not the unhappiness of just being stuck and working hard and getting nowhere. Grinding is about freedom. Grinding is about letting go so that you can achieve your goals, so that you can have some fun along the way. We have problems. And sometimes we have problems because we choose to have problems. And grinding is releasing. So if you're in a situation where you have a problem, you can remove yourself. You can talk, speak up and work something out, change it. Or you can decide that this is what it is. I can't change it. I don't have the means. So so I'm going to accept it, and then let's just allow that this is what's going on mm-hmm. and release the energy and quit just focusing on this piece. So if you're not willing to remove yourself or you're not willing to step in and do the work to shift what's going on, you can say, okay, this is what it is. I'm not going to put energy on it.
Yeah.
All of those ways are might be a little bit difficult, but when you do that, you get to smooth things out and not have the energy on it. They get that release.
Yeah. You know, so here's the thing. I want to just throw this out to you, and I'd love for you to comment. I shared with you during the break that I took the opportunity of COVID-19 to really replace two really bad knees that Benny and I talk about a lot because of our athletic, you know, childhood and so forth. Actually, I played sports to way into my, just way too long. So I took this opportunity to do that, but I didn't realize that in the middle of that after 14 years living in a just incredible place, which I counted on for my stability for the next 18 months, given what we're doing with the network, all of a sudden the situation here changed mm-hmm. and the whole place has to be gutted out. So here's what happened. I grinded away at trying to find a new place. I had a deadline. I grinded away knowing that I had, limited movement at the time. Every day I grinded away. Everything is online. I would try to apply for a place. It would be gone. I did it day after day after day for about, I'd say, 2 months or 8 weeks. And I got to that place you just said, that place where I looked at Linda and I looked at my own healing journey. I looked at what we're doing with the network and said, I am not going to grind away at this anymore. I'm not going to do it. I don't have the bandwidth to do it. But I didn't do it in a negative way, and I want you to talk. It was kind of like I said, look, universe, you probably have a better solution. I just don't want to put more effort in this. It will
right.
affect negatively the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that, because what happened next was what you talked about. A miracle happened.
Right.
But it wasn't going to happen, I don't think, until I let go. Sometimes when we stop, we don't think we're moving forward, and that's what I want you to talk about.
Yeah. We can be in the struggle. We can be in the grind. And then at some point you have to, or you don't have to, but you can choose to just let it go and leave it up to greater powers, knowing it's going to work out. And that energy of being able to step back and release and accept can be quite magical. It can be wonderful. But it helps us even out the roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of in one of these places along with you, Pat, because my mother is stepping into a phase of her life where she needs a lot more care.
Wow.
And so when she's been in and out of the hospital, her health is up and down, and learning to deal with what that looks like. And I've been in conversation with people around, I'm having coffee with networking contacts, and the phone rings, and it's her. And it's like, I answer it because I don't want to not answer it. And then I realize that I'm feeling very short, very clipped, get it over with, get off the phone. And I was having all this irritation.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, instead of staying in this irritation of what's changed, what's different, I spoke to it. When I saw her next, I said, hey, I know in the last couple of times you've called, I've been, kind of short. And Pat, she didn't even know. she said, it was fun. She said what she needed to say. Connect, yes, I can do that. We'll set a date, fine, and I got off the phone. And she wasn't feeling anything that I was feeling. But I was all wound up in it because I'm looking at what's down the road and how much more of this am I going to have to take. And I was up in the irritation. But mm-hmm. when I chose to just speak to it, it all evened out. And what I know is there's so much to be grateful for that I have siblings, so we're all doing this together. I'm not alone. So that I have a home-based business. I have more flexibility.
Yeah.
And every moment is going to be precious because at some point I'm not going to have her. But that's, that's part of that grinding and then being able to release it through some modality,
Yeah. You know what you said is so important. And I find it even more important at this point in time in my life, given what's going on in the outside world. This morning I got a text message from a young woman that was going to come and clean the house on Friday after I'm all out of here. And you know how you hear things differently, just like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a text message from her that she and another member of the house she's staying in both have COVID. And so you could either listen to that and hear, oh, my gosh, who's going to clean the house? Or you could hear it and say, oh, my gosh, both of you, probably three of you, and fortunately they've been taken out of where they're staying and put in a separate place.
Mm-hmm.
But just to hear that from her, and here's what her response was. I get the text message. I'm so sorry. Not going to be able to come. Myself and another person in the house I'm living in, we both have COVID. They're taking us and then they're isolating us. And the next sentence was, and you know what the really good news is? They're putting us up at a lake house. How does it get any better than that? Now, this is from a person.
Right, right.
That's the response, right? It doesn't matter if you're going to clean the house or not. And by the way, I don't even know why we're cleaning it. It's going to be gutted out right next week. That's like old school stuff, right?
Yeah.
Cleaning
mm-hmm.
what? They're going to gut it out.
Mm-hmm. But what are you looking at?
Yeah.
And how are you helping yourself smooth things out? Are you choosing to look at what can't happen and what is happening and getting wound up and, having that peaks and valley, or you're saying, wow, look, I get this, and that just smooths it out.
Let's go ahead and skip the break, Christine, because I want to talk about this next part. I want to talk about, the tie into that, which obviously this person has this. You are mm-hmm. uniquely equipped. Trust your elements. See, in order to respond, instead of, oh, my gosh, there's like two, maybe three of us all in the same house. We all have COVID, .. fill in the blank. It's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, my God, they put us up in a lake house. How does it get better than that? Let's talk about uniquely equipped, because that blade you showed us, that curve,
mm-hmm.
that curve knows it's uniquely equipped.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, what's in the steel, what's in the billet, it has its elemental makeup, and it inherently holds value. And it's good for making the katana, it's good for doing other things. And we also have our inherent pieces that make us really good at managing and handling life and everything that gets thrown at us. That inherent value and being able to trust that is a huge thing. And we can sometimes get caught up because, steel is steel. It has its elements. It is going to do what it's going to do. And it, quote-unquote, performs well when you manage it, when you handle it, when you work with it, and according to its elements. And it doesn't perform well when it gets used for something it's not suited for. We have to be able to look at who we are and what our elements are and what's going on around us and say, I'm suited for this. This works for me. I'm being used for a purpose that is in alignment with who I am and what I'm going to be. Sometimes when things go sideways or rough, we think there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
I'm not in alignment with what's going on. And that's not true.
Well,
but this is where coaching really comes in, Pat.
Yeah.
Because it's very, very difficult to be able to identify when is it just tough and I'm learning lessons and I'm growing and I should stay in the work? And when am I truly not in alignment with what's going on around me? And how do I figure that out? And that's where coaching gets really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Let me just ask you this right in the middle of that, because it's important. I want to stay with this. If that katana, if that steel is forged too thin, like us,
mm-hmm.
if we spread ourselves too thin, if that blade gets worked so much that it moves beyond that point where it's strong, where it's sharp, and that just could be, my words, that could just be a couple of more bangs from the hammer
right. mm-hmm.
that creates that one place that will make that blade vulnerable.
Right.
That's what I hear you talking about, right? There is value mm-hmm. in the steel, and we have to know what that value is, and we have to know, if we look at ourselves as that steel, we have to know that one more strike might make us vulnerable.
Right.
And when a blade is vulnerable, other than decoration, not going to use it for very much. Isn't
right.
that the same thing we're talking about?
Yeah, because if you go, if you get stressed out, if you stay, in a situation that's not conducive, that's not helpful mm-hmm. for you, and you can burn out, you can get thin, and then it makes you really susceptible to cracking and breaking.
Yeah. yeah.
And to be able to recognize when things have gone far enough or too far or
yeah.
getting there and step back is huge.
Yeah.
Because you can save yourself an awful lot of trouble if you don't take it all the way to the breaking point.
I want to get back to something else you said, and that is, look, this is a blade. It has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you take that and use it for something else? Let me give you a specific example. I'm one of these people that I'll look around me and say, oh, I could use that to lift or wedge or separate a nailed
right.
board. And you stick it in between the 2x4s that are
uh-huh.
nailed, and you're
mm-hmm.
thinking, I'm just going to bend. No.
Right.
It's not meant
no.
for that. Isn't
mm-hmm.
that also a critical wisdom point for us to
right.
know, no, you're uniquely equipped, but not to use your inner steel blade to lift a 4-ton truck.
Right, right. To be able to know what you're good at, what's in alignment with you, and to stick with that, knowing that all of us have gifts and talents, and there's somebody else that probably has the right tool or is the right person for that. And you don't have to do it all. And you don't have to put yourself in situations where you're working against who you are to fit in or to accomplish something. Absolutely.
You know, I'm reminded, Benny and I joke about this. I was reminded the other day, I was packing and I came across my old softball glove, Benny, like ancient old softball glove. And Linda and I had a moment of exchange. One of the hardest things for me to realize, as much as I like to play a certain position on the field, I was not suited to do that. I was not suited to do that
mm-hmm.
For a lot of reasons. And when I had that realization, I had to be willing to accept where I was best suited for.
Right.
I'm short. I'm low mm-hmm. to the ground. I have a tremendous arm. I'm a great shortstop or third base. I'm a little slow in the outfield. I'm never going to get to the ball, but I can throw it.
Mm-hmm.
So, isn't part of this is looking at it and accepting it. But at the same time, if I really wanted to play that, I would have probably had to work on dropping about 30 pounds in my youth and learning how to run. But I
yeah.
didn't. I accepted
mm-hmm.
shortstop.
Right. Yeah. And deciding what is worth going after and how hard you want to work.
Oh, boy.
To get, because you can. If you're willing to lose the weight and work on running and to be able to play that position, great. If you weren't, then it's better to take something else. And knowing in the steel, what is it capable of? I'm thinking if you took copper and you hammered it out and made it, the katana shape, it's going to look pretty. It can be shiny. It's going to have that, you know, glow. But you try and use it, it's like, nope, it's going to crumple. It's going to bend. It's going to, you know, it's too soft. It's not suited for that. And
yeah.
But that's kind of what we need to do, to stay in alignment.
Yeah, please go ahead and talk about this. And also I want to make sure folks know how they can work with you, because we don't want to get to the point of failure. We want to be able to recognize these things and then get some help.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, what I do is I work one-on-one with people. I work in small groups called masterminds. I do interactive training, and I also offer just speaking. All of this is meant to move you along, you know, get you along your path and help you recognize. And I want to talk about this alignment piece, because sometimes we want to play that position. We want to show up. And what's really happening is we are stepping into something that isn't quite in alignment with us. I had the opportunity to work with a kind of a big deal personal development company for a while. And I would show up and I would play full out and I would do the extra and really pour myself into it, and repeatedly found that I was stressed out, I was exhausted, and I kept thinking, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And what happened was eventually I got the answers, like, there's nothing wrong with you. The way these people operate is not in alignment with who you are. And they had kind of a culture of chaos and a culture of not having clear communication and a culture of changing plans and, you know, like on the fly. And I'm kind of a steady Eddie. I like to know what the plan is. I like to follow the plan. And, you know, and it just was not a match. But because I thought that this was a good place to be and learn about self-development, I threw myself in there until the point where I figured out that I'm in the wrong place, that these are not my people. Fast forward to Transformation Talk Radio, where the culture is one of connection, where the culture is one of communication, collaboration. It's easy to talk to people. The plans are set. Things flow, and you folks have a great way of, you know, paying it forward. And you're open to all the different ways of self-development. So, yeah, Transformation Talk Radio, there really is something here for anyone that wants to learn to truly thrive. I cannot tell you how connected and in alignment I feel working with you folks, because you operate the way that works well with me, and to be at home. And sometimes when we're in these places where we're working really hard, but it doesn't feel right and we keep tearing ourselves down, we might have to step back and look and say, hey, what's really going on? Maybe I'm trying to play outfield and it's just not working. And then you go and you find that place. It's like, here, shortstop. This works. Yay.
That's why I've gotten two knees that need to be replaced. Just saying. Thank you so much for your kind words, Christine. And thank you so much for all that you do. We are so needing help, people from all walks of life right now. And, you know, part of the confusion is we think we need to know what we need help in. But if people just pick up the phone and call you, that will be a guiding post. It will be the opening. Please tell them how to contact you, and what's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
Yeah, you can contact me at sunglowtransformation.com. Click on the link, send me an email. We'll set up a conversation. You can book yourself into an appointment and have a conversation, bring me to your people, and we'll find out what is that piece that's missing, what is that piece that needs to shift, and how we can get you there and through it. I guess my closing message, Pat, is that we all need to be challenged in order to continue to evolve and grow. And in the processes of making katana, it's work. And we have to do the work. We have to sweat a little bit. We have to get a little dirty. Because if you're not willing to do the work, you don't get to where that katana is finished. And for us, you know, when we're willing to roll up our sleeves, when we're willing to step in, then our victories are going to be sweeter, our falls are going to be shorter, and we're going to get to that place where we have that magnificent, highly functional work of art that is our lives. And it's just a matter of trusting yourself, trusting the process, finding the support you need to help you continue to stay in the game. And if you stay in it, you're going to get there.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the hosts of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.